This is Kevin Conroy, and I know that this week in Geek can't handle the goddamn Batman.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So damn nerdy.
Welcome back to Beyond the Gauntlet. I'm Mike the Birdman Dodd, recorded semi-live from your brain in time and space at 14 Mill Street in Orangeville, Ontario. In today's special episode, it's time to look at the Marvel scorecard again. The summer is here, which means television shows have ended, movies are in theaters, and in our last episode, we talked about Marvel Now, which was the relaunch of a bunch of number ones, pretty cool stuff. But Marvel, as you guys know, is diversified into many different mediums.
A many-headed beast, if you will.
Exactly. You might say a Hydra. Whoa! But I'm not alone. Alert. We are talking with...
Jeff DeHaan.
Marvin Law.
And Chris Peddle, owner and operator of the Gauntlet.
So, yes, guys, we have got some awesome news from the ABC upfronts. We have Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has been renewed for season 2. Peggy Carter has got a 13-episode order. And things are looking good for the Marvel Cinematic Universe. But how did Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. do overall this year? We're going to be talking about the series as a whole.
Well, for those keeping score, any longtime fans, I'm just trying to look up to find exactly. Episode 13 of Beyond the Gauntlet was where we talked about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and I believe it was only 5 episodes in at that time.
Yeah, because wow, I can't believe it was that, wow.
Yeah, and now first season's in the can.
Yeah, and this is a show that took a long time.
It's a Whedon show.
But it's weird, though, because I remember Buffy starting off a hell of a lot quicker.
I think it's because he was still new to it. You look at Dollhouse.
Yeah, but so yeah,
and any of his other, any of his recent stuff, it's a lot of slow burns. And let's just get this out of the way. I think Chris already said it. Spoilers galore in this episode.
Yeah.
Anything for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Captain America 2 for sure. Probably any of the most recent Marvel Cinematic stuff. And whatever else we might get into, but you have been warned. If you haven't been caught up on S.H.I.E.L.D., jump on Netflix. If you haven't seen Captain America 2, I'm sure it's still playing somewhere. Jump on that and then come back and give us a listen, because we don't want to ruin anything for you.
And yeah, we can also talk about the Marvel Netflix series as well, because
they've begun filming Daredevil. They've begun filming it.
And rumor has Zac Efron might be involved.
Mm.
I don't know whether he'd be a terrible Daredevil offhand, but I think he's still a little young looking to me.
I agree with the young looking thing. Here's another bit of news. Apparently Beyond the Gauntlet and those of us here, us three at least, Marvin wasn't there, but I guess we're Nostradamus, because cast is Gambit.
That's right,
Channing Tatum is Gambit, everyone. We predicted it and it's come to fruition.
Channing Tatum for president. It's kind of funny how that kind of happened. But, that's another thing, too. As of this recording, we haven't seen X-Men Days of Future Past. We'll probably talk about it. We'll have an X-Men-centric episode probably the next time we all get together, or at some point in the near future. So just wanted to get that out of the way. So, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
All right, thoughts on the season?
Started really slow. There were some really good standout episodes. If Captain America Winter Soldier had not come out when it did, this show would not have survived. This show would not have gotten a season 2. It needed Captain America.
I don't necessarily agree.
It got interesting after the Hydra shit came out.
Yes, but did you have to see Captain America for you to be interested in that?
Yes.
I don't think so.
I do.
I think you could have still gone by the show.
I agree with Jeff. I agree with Jeff.
I think there was enough drama in what happened in the show, which obviously tied into the whole Hydra reveal from Captain America 2, and it was obviously much bigger in scope with Captain America, but I think with Ward turning and everything that went down in those last 3 or 4 episodes...
I'm honestly surprised Ward survived. I thought Skye was going to kill him, and that was going to be her, now you're a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent.
Because, again, with Whedon shows, and I realize, for anyone who might complain, I realize that it's actually written by Joss's brother and sister-in-law, and they're commonly his writing team for most of his shows, so I just say it's a Whedon show, even though Joss didn't necessarily have to do
it's
with all
the
writing.
It's all in the family, anyway.
Think of Ward like Angel. Where he turns evil for a season and he'll eventually come back.
I hope not. That was...
And I really hope that doesn't happen, because...
Yeah. After he turned, I kept saying to my wife, I'm like, I hope they don't turn him good. I hope they don't turn him good. And then that last episode, there were some leanings. Mm-hmm. And I was like, no, you can't. Well, he's evil.
I'd be good if he turned good, but he died soon afterwards, like make the heroic sacrifice.
I'd be okay with that. But yeah, I don't want to see him flip-flop.
Yeah.
Personally, I thought he became a much more interesting character the moment he went heel.
Yes, absolutely.
Because I thought Ward was the friggin' anvil holding the show back. I thought he had no personality.
The pointless Boy Scout thing.
And the guy that is the son of the Howling Commandos that took his place. What's the character?
Triplett.
He is a much better Ward than Ward ever was.
And, exactly. And his chemistry is really good with Coulson.
The Ward-Sky love story felt so forced.
Exactly. But then you find he's a villain, and it was supposed to be.
And that's what made it work, yeah.
Well, essentially, if you look at Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as a show, it's Scooby-Doo meets Firefly. Scooby meets Firefly meets X-Files.
Jinkies.
Because you look at Ward, it's just Jane. You can't trust Jane. You can't trust Ward. He's going to betray you. And you know it's going to happen, and it happens. And if you look at the whole cast...
I've never looked at it that way?
Really?
Mind blown.
Coulson is Mal. Melinda May is just Zoe and Wash combined together. Fitz and Simmons are just Dr. Tam Scully? Kaylee. It's Kaylee and Dr. Tam.
I can see that.
And then Skye is essentially Inara combined with a little bit. She's the one that... You can't follow the book. Oh, Inara will get you around the thing. She gets up behind the scenes. She gets the dirty side of things.
She's Inara and River.
Yeah. She's the wild card. You never know what you can expect from her.
Speaking of which, what do you guys think is going on with her?
Super Skrull.
She's Kree. No, she's an Inhuman. She's an Inhuman. She's an Inhuman.
You think so?
You think she's an Inhuman?
I think that'd be really cool. So who do you think
her? Flowers and her are both Inhumans. So they're not... The Terrigan Mist hasn't hit them yet. She goes, Mer Flowers says, what will I turn into?
Oh yeah, well, that's good.
So who's their bloody father? The blue guy is the Kree.
Yeah, a lot of people have been saying that since.
Or Dr. Manhattan. I don't know.
Yeah,
but essentially, I think Flowers knows she's Inhuman, and then that's why.
Skye
has no clue. They're from the blue side of the moon. That's why they're here. So
that makes sense. That really makes a lot of sense.
And since Marvel can't use mutants, how do you explain the powers away? You use Kree, the Inhumans, and Krees.
That's a really fun way to end it, and that's why you have the Inhumans book into the season two.
And this is why you have the Inhumans book coming at the same time.
It's a Whedon show; they might even push it later than that.
I'm kind of hoping we see the Atlanteans at some point because that would have been cool to see that happen.
Namor's hooked up with the FF series; you can't use him.
Fuck.
Yeah.
By the way, there's our PG-13. Damn it.
But
I want Namor.
It was for Namor. I'm really curious. I was really hoping they weren't, because Whedon, again, is known for killing people. Usually, you just look at, by the end of the season, you look at whoever's happiest, and chances are they're not going to make it to the end of the episode. Oh. I was really thinking Fitz was done. I'm glad that they didn't, but I'm more so glad that they didn't, because clearly something's happened. Every time they ask Simmons, how is he? He's alive. My theory is, he's got some form of brain damage, and she's going to have to basically reteach him everything. But because of her relationship with
Vision,
him, they're not just going to let him go.
No, that's already cast.
MODOK.
Yeah.
Oh, MODOK.
That would be interesting.
He'd have to be evil, though.
See, that's
what I thought. I guess they could turn him.
He's brain dead, deprived of oxygen. Shove him to the... Like, the whole Patton Oswalt thing, the whole LMD thing is hilarious.
Yeah. That caught me off guard when I saw that, and I'm like, Life Model Decoy.
Because it's the exact same lines over again. I'm like, damn it, Patton. Here we go again.
I just like how he just so readily dismissed it through. Oh yeah, that was Eric. He's dead.
Yeah,
it's like whatever. It's all right. But no, yeah. Essentially, there's a lot of it's the thing about season one is it's a lot of foundation building, because you said you're building
the Marvel universe.
You're pretty sure you're building the Shield side of things, because you have to build a foundation to tell more stories. So it's like Shield has been maybe hinted at in the Marvel universe, hinted at story wise. Mm-hmm. But now that you have a whole S.H.I.E.L.D. series, you're introducing the foundation of hierarchy and the structure of
That's why nowadays you'll see a show, even if it doesn't have the best first season, they'll give it a second season to let it try to build off of what it started.
Unless if
the second season doesn't work, then it's done. But, so that's why a lot of times you don't see a show get canned after just one season, because they're willing to see, okay, you've built your foundation, now play with it, see where you can go from here.
And it's really cool throughout the season how they tie it to the rest of the Marvel Universe. They had Sif come back for the episode,
which was a fun one.
Which
and
was
everything.
A fun episode.
Props to Fury for actually getting down and dirty in this season finale too, because I mean, and one of the things, again, touching back to that episode 13 that we did of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. after it first started, I always found there was kind of this disconnect for me from the cinematic universe to TV. You know, it almost didn't seem like they could coincide. Having Samuel L. Jackson actually get in there and fight really helped. And actually, earlier today, Thor was playing on Showcase, so I just happened to flick it on there. And it was kind of neat seeing Coulson interact and stuff in the movie again. And it's the going back and seeing these things is what helps kind of see the weave that has become this cinematic universe. You know?
I was reading something on online, an article about the Marvel Studios, and apparently they've got like the next 22 years worth
until 2029.
Yeah, 2029. They have what they're planning on releasing, when it's coming out, everything planned. I mean, nothing's been cast, of course, but you know
they haven't told you yet.
They haven't. They have it planned. Actually, there's another rumor going around too. That they've already cast Doctor Strange.
That wouldn't surprise me.
Zac Efron's rumored, and no, so is Johnny Depp.
No. Johnny Depp turned it down.
Wow.
Luke Evans is the person. Because he's been hanging around the set of... Luke Evans has been hanging around the set of
Age
Avengers
of
2, and he's been seen in a lot of publicity shoots, and after them dropping...
That dude.
And after they've dropped his name numerous times, in like Captain America, they dropped Doctor Strange's
name.
That
was the big thing. Luke Evans he was the villain in Fast and Furious 6. He was in Immortals, The Raven. He's in The Hobbit. He's apparently on pre-production to play Eric Draven in The New Crow.
Oh my God, this dude.
Yeah. And I honestly think if this turns out to be true and he is Doctor Strange, I think he could pull it off.
I know him best from Fast and Furious movies, but I Googled him. And seeing him with a mustache, he could definitely pull off Doctor Strange for sure.
The question is, who would you get to direct that film? My personal favorites would be Guillermo del Toro.
What I'm saying.
Or Francis Lawrence, the guy that did Constantine.
I have to admit, if I had to choose between Guillermo del Toro doing Doctor Strange or doing his Justice League Dark, I think he'd have more to play with Justice League Dark. So if I only had to choose between one of those two, I'd rather see him on the JLD.
That is true, but mind you, that film might be on the back burner at this point.
Probably.
Do the Constantine TV show.
I'm just saying one or the other.
Yeah.
I would still, he's...
You know who might not be bad bring in, honestly? If they could talk to Sam Raimi again, because he's handled supernatural stuff before.
Mm-hmm.
Any of the really, really good horror atmospheric directors. Yeah, or him, from Supernatural.
Yeah.
That could be how. Or the guy who did The X-Files, Chris Carter. Who knows?
Well, and that's one thing you got to give it to Marvel with the cinematic universe is they may pick things that are kind of out of left field, but
sometimes they always seem to make them work really
choices,
well.
Their choices aren't made on a whim. You know, they're made with great...
clairvoyancy.
You know, exactly. Well, look at Chris Evans. A lot of people bagged on Chris Evans being cast as Captain America.
Because if I was the Human Torch, like, that
And how
sucks.
Many people were calling the first Captain America their favorite, you know, Marvel movie? How many people are calling Winter Soldier the best Marvel movie yet?
Here's a question, though. Who would have thought two directors from Arrested Development would do such an amazing action film?
Oh my God!
We're crossing over to the Captain America Winter Soldier. Again, spoiler alert here. But
Wicked
this
thick.
Movie was a ride from start to finish, guys. Mm-hmm.
Humor in all the right beats. Not a wasted single character.
Stakes felt real.
The stakes felt real. It was a heavy cast. You know,
the
you had
writing
obviously
was
Cap
great.
Coming back, Scarlett Johansson.
And the thing that I think I liked about it the most was if you walked into this movie, not having watched anything else in the Marvel U,
it caught you up
and you
fast.
Didn't know it was just a great thriller spy type movie on its own accord.
Oh, for
if
sure.
If you take it out of the context of the Marvel U, it still could hold its weight as a movie, and that's important.
I completely agree, and I think that's something like a lot of people talk about how awesome the Avengers is, but at the same time, Avengers had 4 or 5 movies of setup that they didn't have to deal with in their own film. See, that's why I feel like Winter Soldier is almost a better film than The Avengers, because you can go into it blind and still know everything that's going
on. See, what a point I made earlier about Winter Soldier and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Winter Soldier gave the threat of Hydra to be real. It showed Project Insight, these giant helicarriers that can nuke a city. It showed how far back S.H.I.E.L.D. had been infected since the 40s.
Oh, not since the 40s, since the beginning. Yeah. Pretty much right off the bat.
But you needed Winter Soldier to make the S.H.I.E.L.D. world collapse.
I don't believe that because I know three people that have not seen Captain America yet, but that watch S.H.I.E.L.D., and they completely understood the gravity of the situation without even knowing what went on in Captain America.
See, imagine how much they'd think about it now once they see Captain America, thinking, oh my God. Because think about this. Coulson and all of them could have been sent on missions for the bad guys, and they'd never know it under the guise of security. It taints everything.
Oh, it does taint everything, but they still get that message across if you just watch the show.
What I think is fantastic is if there is someone who just went into Winter Soldier without having seen anything else, if I were them, I'd be like, okay, time to pick up some DVDs or time to jump on Netflix and start watching all these old ones to catch up.
Here's the thing about the new Agent Carter show we haven't really thought about is, since Hydra is there, the
Hydra is going to be there.
They're going to be the whole subplot about Agent Carter. It's the whole series where you're going to see the formation of the infiltration of S.H.I.E.L.D. by Hydra. And so it'll all tie back together again. So you'll see the origins.
And I bet you'll see Baron Zemo as a villain, and you'll probably see a very young Baron von Strucker
What I love is how, with Agent Carter, they're going to be able to show things that are going to ripple into the present day stuff. You know,
and time travel. They can do that, too.
Oh, possibly. But I mean, without even going too far with time travel, I just mean there could be an event that'll happen back then. And then you'll watch a movie and be like, oh my God, because of Agent Carter. And what I love, something I think that's kind of smart that Marvel is doing, Agent Carter and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. are in the exact same time slot. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to go on a mid-season hiatus, and that's when Agent Carter is going to start in the exact same time slot. I think that's a smart move because they know it's going to be a very similar, if not the same audience.
I wonder, did anyone read the credits for Winter Soldier? Sharon, agent, the nurse that was the S.H.I.E.L.D. agent beside Steve's place.
Sharon Carter.
Yeah.
But they didn't call her Carter, though. They didn't call her by her last name.
Not during the movie.
So I'm wondering, was she called that in the credits? Agent 13.
I never checked. I think it was probably Agent 13.
Because I wonder if Steve's ever picked up the fact that this is the granddaughter of his girlfriend.
Yeah. So, whenever he went to visit Peggy, he did see her, the little family portrait. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it was just her and like her kid. But at the same time, that if it was that family portrait, that could very well have included Sharon's mother. Mm-hmm. So it could be because they did show that picture.
And the interesting setup at the end of the credits there too, with showing off Quicksilver and mm-hmm. Scarlet.
Oh my
Witch,
God!
Setting up obviously that was Baron Strucker as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they've acquired Loki's staff, which can only
the Loki pokey stick, as I like to call it.
The Loki pokey stick.
That has to be used in the episode description somehow or something.
Oh, I will
just
I
name
will
the episode that.
The Loki pokey stick.
Yeah. And it's amazing how Marvel is actually weaving their Marvel universe so intricately, just as intricate as they can in the comics with what they're planning is.
And it doesn't feel annoying like it does in the comics, which
is amazing.
Nothing's
annoying, nothing's forced. If anything, you're left waiting, saying, you know, like I saw that Quicksilver Scarlet Witch tease, and I'm like, seriously? I've got to wait a year? You know?
Mind you,
we'll get a full trailer next Super Bowl.
Oh, probably.
Mind you, the funniest thing, I have a funny story about the Winter Soldier, was actually, I was sitting at Starbucks, and this young boy saw me drawing. He's like, oh, did you see the Winter Soldier yet? I said, yeah, of course. I asked him, did you stay for the both post-credit scenes? He's like, no, there's two of them. And so I said to him, like, you need to go back and watch it again. And he's like, no, just tell me what the other scene was after the credits ended. I was like, no, you have to watch it. So I decided to troll him the most worst way possible. I told him, you know what, I'll tell you what the ending is right now. The other ending was, I can't believe Nick Fury was the Red Skull.
Aww.
And this boy's head wanted to explode.
You're going to hell.
So I'm like, what
no,
better way?
Going home.
What better way for a neo-Nazi to hide in the body of a black man? Not in plain sight.
Woo!
You are an evil, evil, satanic man. I'm just saying.
It's okay. Not the first time they've ever said about me. But it's still funny.
Oh, my God.
Wonderful. But yeah, so...
Now, did at the end of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., when there's the guy with the bleeding hand, is that also Strucker? Because Strucker has the messed up hand. Who was that supposed to be?
That's Sky's dad,
yeah.
That's, oh, yeah. Okay. That's Sky's father. The question is...
Any theories?
Who is he?
I don't think he'll be an established character.
No?
Or at least he'll be really well disguised, you know what I mean? Like oh, that's an interpretation. Kind of like how John Garrett, we didn't see him as, you know.
Oh, a lot of people have said Baron Blood.
Did you like the way Bill Paxton was dealt with at the end of the
film? That was amazing.
That was so weird.
I found out what it did.
More than anything in that episode or anything in the entire season, that moment was such a Whedon moment. Huh. Found it. Fantastic. Especially since, like, believe it or not, I fell for it. I was like, oh, crap. Who is he turning into now? We've already got a death log. Is he good? And for a split second, I'm like, they're not going to make him some sort of Ultron thing, are they? Because he was getting all the metal legs and everything, and then he blew up.
See, I was really hoping they'd turn him into MODOK, because that's what I said when it happened. He's getting all armored up, like, God, MODOK! And then
no, I vaporized. Still think to this day, if you're going to have MODOK, the only person that can represent a giant, oversized head and a floating chair is Gilbert Gottfried.
I was about to say, yeah, Gilbert Gottfried would be an amazingly voiced MODOK.
He would be a great voice for it.
What about Jack Black?
No, Gilbert Gottfried.
Jack Black has to be annoying.
He's
going to
have the squinty eye and everything, and the little arms and legs.
I'm MODOK.
But you want to kill him really badly if turns
out. I know, but that's the idea. You want to kill MODOK.
I can live with Jack Black being MODOK.
Another thing I'd like to see them do, because they did mention it during the course of the series when they went to S.H.I.E.L.D. Academy, they mentioned AIM, and evidently they're still around.
Well, that was, I thought it was AIM that was working on the twins at the end of Captain America.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, and there's still, and Extremis is still out there.
Oh, yeah.
Stuff like that.
Centipede and everything, yeah.
AIM is an offshoot of Hydra, from what I remember.
Yeah. So I'm really hoping they bring them back. Mm-hmm.
Well, we know AIM's back because they're the ones that have Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch. You want the Beekeeper monsters.
I love those. In fact, I got a Marvel Legends figure. It's probably my favorite one that I've ever gotten. It's just an army builder dude, but I love the Beekeeper looking dudes.
I don't know. Don't hold your breath on seeing the Beekeeper suits in Marvel Cinematic Universe. But
AIM, I think you might in the background.
AIM is obviously going to play a big part in Avengers 2. Which I can't wait for. It's, about a year away now, I guess?
Well, they're still filming, so yeah.
Yeah.
The Tourney of Jarvis.
That's going to be interesting.
Hey, I'm sorry.
I'm hyper Hulkbuster.
Anytime Paul Bettany gets to do anything, I'm just right there, because Paul Bettany
is amazing. Well, and that's the interesting thing, and nobody's really addressed it. There's been a couple questions, but Paul Bettany is supposed to be Vision, correct?
Yeah.
You heard?
Yeah.
And he's Jarvis, but a lot of people were saying that Jarvis was going to be Ultron. But in the comics, Ultron creates Vision. So you got a weird kind of thing
going
on.
Well, they were deviating from compliments with Tony creating Ultron by accident. So,
that's what I'm saying. So obviously Jarvis might have a hand. The Jarvis tech might have a hand in creating Ultron. Mm-hmm. And then maybe create Vision as a counterbalance. I don't know.
Maybe the redemption of Ultron is
Vision. It's possible. Who knows?
Are we going to talk about Guardians?
And why not? I don't see why we can't. Yeah. Guardians is coming out later in the summer.
August release.
Actually,
August
by release. The time this airs, we'll have seen the second trailer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I saw a teaser for it today.
Same
it's
here,
supposed to come out in a couple of days, but by the time you're hearing this, it'll have already been out for a little while. But yeah, so we got another trailer. It's looking good, and it's a smart move on Marvel's part.
And I think it's going to be Vin Diesel's finest performance, where he only has one line.
I am Groot.
Well, he's filming his stand-up.
You know what his best performance was? The Iron Giant.
And that's what this almost is going to harken back to. It's voice work. Plus, while people make jokes about that, when you read the comics, you know how differently he's saying I am Groot depending on the situation. And I think that's what it's going to be. Like, I'm looking forward to him busting through a wall, yelling, I am Groot, before he starts swatting bad guys across the room.
Well, I heard somewhere that Vin Diesel had to record I am Groot like over 170 different ways.
Honestly, yeah. I find that number low.
Yeah.
I would have expected it to be like 300 and something. Okay, again,
Did you see the part about the director for Guardians of the Galaxy? I was rewatching the Dawn of the Dead remake with Zack Snyder, and guess who the writer was? It was James Gunn again. I was like, I know that name. I saw the trailer again, I'm like, that's the writer director for Guardians of the Galaxy. Good choice. Should be interesting.
I think the casting decisions across the board with this movie are amazing.
Marvel, I think Bradley Cooper as Rocket Raccoon, surprising, but it really kind of works, actually. I can totally picture that smart ass.
I'm going to wait kind of thing to actually hear a little more than I think I've heard a couple of words. You haven't heard a whole lot yet, but I think they're also waiting until like maybe
Comic-Con.
That last trailer before or you know, whatever, or maybe even Comic-Con to hear it. But I don't think he masks his voice too much from what I've seen. But I agree with you. I'm like, really? That seems like a bit of an odd choice, but
he's a funny guy.
And again, we've said their casting decisions from start to finish with the Marvel Cinematic Universe, starting with Downey Jr. as Tony Stark, you know, have always been fantastic. Even if people didn't agree with them right off the bat, for the most part, once someone sees the film, they're like, okay, yeah, I can see that, you know?
Dave Bautista as Drax.
I'm okay with that. I'm a wrestling fan, so, but
as long as he doesn't talk too much.
I'm just curious if we'll see Thanos or not. I'm thinking since they have to set up Thanos eventually.
But Thanos is still he's the long end game for the end of Phase 3, from what I know. I think Thanos might start to set up in maybe a Guardians 2, which would obviously come before Avengers 3 anyways.
Mm-hmm. Well, they said he's supposed to be in Guardians.
He's in Guardians, but he's the big probably,
bad.
I don't think he's the big bad.
If he's going to be the big bad for Avengers 3... Do you want him to get defeated by the Guardians of the Galaxy?
Well, I think essentially it's going to be what we talk about wrestling as being you beat up the group of good guys that you think have a chance to get to the big main event heel turn. So he probably might take out the Guardians, like not kill them, but beat them down and then make his way because you need to create the fear.
I'm wondering if the end game is to have the Guardians show up in Avengers 3. To have
Infinity
both teams taking sort of on Thanos.
Because they're obviously setting up all the power gems from the gauntlet.
Yeah.
Even though they're not really in gem form in this, but, you know, it's...
Because the mind gem is in the scepter. The aether is reality or power. It's one or the other.
Yeah.
And that's what Chris is saying. That one's not really a gem. It's almost like a liquidy smoke kind of form.
Yeah. So they're not really gems, but eventually that they're going to do this. I mean, they got Del Toro playing the collector.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the scenery he will chew.
Oh yes, it will be glorious.
But that one will be fun. I'm looking forward to that.
Oh yeah.
So I wonder if the third Avengers movie they're just going to do a version of the Infinity Gauntlet story arc with Thanos getting his hands on the gauntlet.
It's possible. Don't forget, we did see the gauntlet in the first Thor movie.
Yep.
In the trophy room.
I wonder how intentional that was. If they were like, oh, we'll throw in a little Easter egg.
Well, it
if
makes maybe me they also didn't... wonder because the Eye of Agamotto was also in there and they got the Doctor Strange movie slated for...
If that's what I'm saying. If maybe the when they were making the first Thor, if they didn't really have the end game planned completely, and now it's like, oh, well, now we needed those. Although, you never know. Now that with Thor having been on Earth a couple of times now, they've got an easy out to maybe get to some of these things. And we know that Thanos and like the whole cosmic and space realm has a link to Asgard when Sif and... Was it Volstagg that went with Sif at the end credits for Thor 2? It was Volstagg. Ray Stevenson's character.
Mm-hmm.
That obviously there's a link to Asgard since they were able to go to the collector. So who's to say someone can't go back and grab the gauntlet?
Then there's that girl in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. who escaped through Loki's path onto Earth.
Yes.
So there's always a way out there. You just got to find it. You just know the way up.
Yeah. Now the entire collapse of S.H.I.E.L.D., do you think we're going to see the ripples and ramifications of that through future movies, or are they just going to lay that on just the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. show with the rebuilding of S.H.I.E.L.D. with the ground up with the cube toolbox that
Director Coulson
that Coulson received from Fury?
I think I think there'll be ripples in the movies, but they won't be huge because don't forget the next Earthbound Marvel Cinematic movie is Avengers 2. Avengers is Guardians, and Guardians is going to have nothing to do with S.H.I.E.L.D. or anything stuff, like that.
But my curious question is, bigger ripples effect is, what happens when the Avengers find out Coulson's still alive?
And that's what too. I keep saying. Because
like Sif saw Coulson, told him, don't tell Thor.
Well, and don't forget, he's like, oh, when you see Stark.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, never mind. He thinks he's dead.
And Cap hasn't, I don't think Steve's seen Coulson at all at S.H.I.E.L.D. No. So the whole
There's
cause,
already a bad trust thing with S.H.I.E.L.D. Yeah. as it is.
See, so I would wonder if Black Widow knows.
She probably doesn't know clue. Has no clue to it. I'm curious.
You know what though? I wouldn't be surprised if she did, but didn't say anything because she's so in Fury Stark.
Yeah.
So I could see her doing that, and she'd be one that could keep the secret.
Now, the question is, what will happen when Loki sees Coulson alive? Still, he'd be like, "Really? Did I kill you once already? Do I have to do it again?"
Well, it's interesting because Loki's becoming so popular. Although I think the end game for Thor 3 will be the final showdown with Thor and Loki kind of thing, and I don't think Loki will necessarily die.
No, but they won't.
Well, right now, he's masquerading as Odin.
Well, that's what I mean. And I think Asgard will kind of go to hell in a handbasket with Thor or with Loki leading it, and Thor will eventually have to come back.
And Thor 3 is going to happen before Avengers 3.
Exactly.
So, what other movies are slated? There's Doctor Strange, Black
Widow. Doctor Strange
Ant-Man.
Isn't going to be. Let's
Cap
not forget,
3, Thor 3.
Ant-Man. let's get
Ant-Man. Man.
Do you guys know the names of the subtitles for all the other films yet? Because Thor's Ragnarok.
Yeah. Cool.
Thor Ragnarok.
Captain
yeah.
America is going to be a Fallen Soldier.
Yeah.
So
that one's
Chris
gonna deal,
Evans.
That's probably going to deal with the death of Captain America because...
Evans wants to direct now.
Oh, Evans wants to direct, and they just signed on Sebastian Shaw for a
nine film.
Or Sebastian...
Yeah, Sebastian Shaw's a bad guy.
Yeah. Stan's the actor. Shaw's the guy that runs the
Hellfire Club.
Close enough.
Close enough.
Yes.
Hey, it had to do with comics, so still props.
Yes.
But, I mean, I wonder... I think Sebastian Stan's got a huge... He's going to have some pretty big shoes to fill from Chris Evans because he's so charismatic.
I agree, but he's also not the same Captain America.
Yeah, he's the dark, brooding Captain America.
Yeah.
And he did a fantastic job of it. And I loved how at the time in the comics, it really mirrored, you know, because Dick Grayson became Batman and Sebastian Stan became Captain America. And they were both very different versions of that hero.
Bucky. But it's interesting to see how that always paralleled out because when Jason Todd came back from the dead.
That's when Bucky came back
and
they did the Winter Soldier.
Then you had the whole thing about Captain America dying and Batman dying by his sidekick. I'm like, there's a lot of weird parallels between Batman and Captain America that whole time.
It does make you wonder sometimes.
You know what I'd like to see? This is a character I don't think gets nearly enough love. Once again, from my limited experience in the 90s. Yes.
You're getting
X-Force
Dupe
the
film.
Series. No, I would
Just
love
for
to
you.
See, I would like to see John Just Walker. Love. The U.S. agent come back in some capacity.
You never know. They might throw
U.S.
Him
agent
in
might show. Yeah, U.S. agent might show up.
I mean, I'm actually really surprised for even for S.H.I.E.L.D. and other things that they haven't used Paul Bettany as a guest voice on the show. Like, if they want to bring in Stark and stuff like that, just talk to Jarvis.
You never know. They might.
I definitely though throughout the season was pleased with the little. The Easter eggs and the nods to the cinematic universe.
They even mentioned Man-Thing.
You know, that was fantastic.
I was like, what's
it.
A Man-Thing? I'm like, what? And then that dude with the tiger claws, I can't remember his name. He sucks anyhow.
But they didn't go overboard with it, but I think they did just enough little Easter eggs. Obviously more so in those last couple episodes because that was their go-home show for the season, but... I liked the nods that they had and the guest stars that they had, even the ones that weren't directly related to the movies. Like there was the Asgardian that came to Earth and was hiding, and he was a
lawyer. That was a really good thing for them to do too. I really hope he comes back.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing too,
back when S.H.I.E.L.D. first was announced as a TV show, they said that that Moon Knight, She-Hulk, and Iron Fist. We're going to be tied to S.H.I.E.L.D. in some way, and that still hasn't happened. So in season two, we might even see tie-in with the Iron Fist Netflix.
Daredevil and all that stuff,
And all that happen. And who knows, like maybe that's where they'll set up like She-Hulk and Moon Knight.
Well, and there's another way they do it now, is you can, since Deathlok left, he can show up in
the Netflix.
Iron Fist, he can show up in Power Man, he can show up in Daredevil.
I'd like to see him get a one-hour pilot. Give it to J. August Richards, I think is the name of the actor.
Yep.
Give Deathlok a one-hour movie. See how well it does. Make it exclusive to Netflix or Hulu. See what happens.
Well,
because he made that, he really was a good Deathlok.
He did a good job, yeah.
And the character is interesting enough because I was a fan of Deathlok in the 90s when it was Michael something or other. Can't remember. The one that was gray and looked like a zombie. So, I don't know. And I like the fact they didn't have a lot of the big super powerful bad guys, but they had the beginnings of Graviton, the beginnings of Blizzard.
Mm-hmm.
They've talked about Man-Thing, but he's a good guy-ish.
Yeah. I don't know
he
if
he burns you with fear.
If you fear him, he'll burn you.
And they've got the rights back to stuff like Ghost Rider now.
Mm-hmm.
So there's so much the Marvel Universe can do.
There's so much potential to what they can do, not just with movies, but with the TV shows. And,
oh, yeah.
And with Agent Carter, I mean, yeah, sure, it takes place in the past, but they must have a plan or they wouldn't have done it. So they're going to have some things that'll hook people and keep them interested.
I'm sure
for
Howard
sure.
Stark will show up again.
Well, they do have like the four Netflix series. That there's plenty of possibility for crossover there, too.
There's Luke Cage.
And maybe we'll see Triplett's grandfather.
Yeah.
Alan Commandos, right?
That'll tie it right into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
They're supposed to be Daredevil, Luke Cage, Iron Fist, and Jessica Jones,
mm-hmm.
which will then tie into a series called The Defenders.
Yeah.
So the fact that we're getting a Netflix Avengers, more or less.
Basically.
They've got...
Well, The Defenders is just a loose name that hasn't been fully decided. Because I honestly think Marvel Knights with that. Because Marvel Knights is more of the street level.
Especially since they're... And who's to say we couldn't get, like, a Punisher appearance?
Oh, my God.
You know? Oh, I'd love that.
I would love them if they had the money. And he's done TV.
Tom Jane.
Yeah, bring back Tom Jane. Or even the guy...
He would do it.
You guys have all seen Dirty Laundry, right?
Of course.
My God, it was a great
Jack Daniels body is terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
Although, if I had my wish, and this is the fanboy in me, I saw the original Punisher with Dolph Lundgren and Lou Gossett Jr. I'd like to see Tom Jane kill Dolph Lundgren in something. Just Punisher killing
Expendables
Punisher.
3.
I'm okay with that.
That would be. I think that would be kind of cool in some capacity. Plus, with all the rogues gallery from all the other series... They can bring those into S.H.I.E.L.D. if they want, like fucking, Typhoid.
Lost the PG.
Typhoid Mary can be brought in. Yeah. Who are some of, like, Iron Fist's bad guys?
Let's see.
Well, he fights a lot of really obscure Fing Fang Foom-esque bad guys and a lot of the...
Like mystical stuff, right?
Yeah, mystical stuff.
Or martial arts related.
So, or martial arts, like Shang-Chi or the Great...
Batroc?
Or Fatou, the great Fatou.
He's only Captain America villain.
Arcus, Agamotto. I just Googled it to see what. Angar the Screamer.
You know what I'd love to see? I want to see Taskmaster.
Black Mamba.
In something.
Taskmaster.
You might see him in S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh my God.
He'd be
that
a trainer.
Would make
he'd be a new trainer for all the fighters.
Well, he's got. Coulson's got to build it back up again.
Oh, here's the interesting thing. What would you guys think if Frank Castle showed up on S.H.I.E.L.D. as an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
That would be awesome, and then he goes nuts.
Then he gets family gets killed, and you see him just splinter off.
Oh, if he started as an agent, I would love that.
So,
like,
see all the training comes from all the tactical training he has locked in his brain as a specialist.
I think that would be.
I would see him. Starting
I think that would
Daredevil.
Be a neat Easter egg if they were just like there was an Agent Castle,
or
and obviously
Scourge.
Yeah, obviously people would think that was the case, but I think that'd be a neat idea because I mean, there isn't. Well, I mean, I guess, you know, there's still Middle East stuff going on, but it's not the same as when Punisher was, his origin was originally created.
One of the other things they mentioned in Captain America Winter Soldier, that guy who they dragged out of the building.
Crossbones.
Yeah, he could show up in, like, any of these series.
Oh, we know he's going to at least show up in the next Cap.
Like I said, I'd love to see him. I really would like to see Batroc come back.
In Iron Fist.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That could be a really cool fight. And that could be one of those event things Marvel could set up because George St. Pierre, he's still a pretty big name. So why the hell not?
Hey, who would you cast as Iron Fist? I'm curious.
Man, I'm trying to think of someone. Is Iron Fist a white guy?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Danny Rand. He's a rich guy.
I'm trying to think who has the martial art. You know what they should do, depending? They should recruit, if the person can act, a former Power Ranger. Because they'll have the martial arts experience. And you want a martial artist, not an actor. Or, kind of... There was this thing I saw online. I can't remember what it was. It's for the that Street Fighter Assassin's Fist series.
Yeah.
Yeah. They need to find people that are literally both. Unfortunately, I don't think they could get Jason Frank.
There's times they've had lucky people like Jason Statham who could learn and apply what he's learned to martial arts. So,
Here's an interesting thought. Villains for the Netflix series, Wrecking Crew, too campy?
That'd be awesome, especially with his enchanted crowbar. That is day one watching.
That would be kind of awesome.
I think it's a safe bet we'll see Bullseye in the street in the Netflix shows.
Definitely the Daredevil.
I would love to see, just as a kick the crap before the movie starts sort of thing, Pace Pete Potter. The guy that the glue guns. I just think that'd be
Stilt
awesome.
Man. Stilt Man. There's no love for Stilt Man.
I would love to see just some of the more stupid villains get the crap kicked out of them. Actually, I'd like to see the Wizard in one of these series, because he's...
What about the Purple Man?
Actually, he's got a really cool power.
Well, he's actually kind of tied to Alias. So not Alias, but the... Jessica Jones.
Yeah.
So he's loose. He's very tied to her.
It was Alias, but a lot of people get it mixed up with the Jennifer Garner TV show because the comic was going on at the same time. Who else do we have? I just started Googling Marvel Street villains. Obviously, you got Kingpin.
Well, you can get the Hand completely involved with Daredevil.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We might even see Elektra in there.
Probably.
I could even handle if they brought back Jennifer Garner to do that, but I doubt
she can fight.
After the Elektra film,
She can fight, but she is not a good actress for the cold Elektra needed to be.
That's true. She
was too girl next door. That was my biggest problem.
Too motherly, almost, too, because now she's had like one or two kids.
Yeah.
And when, I don't know, I think you can tell when someone's
a mom.
She's
married to Batman, so.
And yeah. Daredevil. That's true. Wow, Batman, Daredevil, and Elektra really did end up together. Huh. How about that? Never even thought about that just now. Mind blown.
Mind you, the real life was that the guy playing up, was it Star-Lord, got beat up by James McAvoy, kept Professor X and Wanted. Went took the keyboard to the face.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I watched Wanted a couple weeks ago. It was awesome.
I'm trying to think of, you could bring back, if you wanted more street-level villains, if you could raid some of the Punisher's people, like Jigsaw. They could bring in...
Well, they could do, like, Tombstone, Jigsaw,
the Russian.
Hammerhead.
The
Bushwhacker.
The Russian.
What's Kevin Nash doing these days? What's Kevin Nash doing these days?
Not on his knees, let me tell you that much.
I'm trying to think of other villains.
Super Shredder.
But I say, you couldn't get anything from, like, the Spider-Man verse, so they're off limits as far as I know.
Well, it's tough to say. Like, technically, Kingpin could be considered Spider-Man, but he's also able to be used for Netflix, because it's kind of like that Quicksilver, Scarlet Witch thing.
Yeah.
There's some that kind of fit into both worlds. You just got to kind of watch what eggshells you step on.
Yeah.
You just can't call them mutants.
I'm trying to think what else you could... I'm trying to think if there's any Spider... I'd like to see Shocker, but
he's
way too
Spider-Man, yeah.
I'm
Rocket Racer.
I'm raiding my mind here, trying to think. I know a crap ton of X-Men villains, but that won't work here. Which, you know, it's funny. Someone tweeted a rumor, and it was from Max Landis, the guy that did Chronicle, that allegedly the rights will be reverting back to Marvel for Spider-Man.
Sony will never let that happen.
If you backed up a truck full of money up to their house, I mean, actually... Let's talk about Spider-Man.
Okay, before you bring we talk Spider-Man, I've read a couple rumors online that Sony is vying to purchase DC Comics off of Warner Brothers. And if that happens,
they'd have to sell it off.
They would lose their rights to anything Marvel because of conflict of interest.
I was going to say, are we going to see a Spider-Man Batman crossover?
And I have read quite a few articles lately that have been pointing to Sony actively trying to acquire DC Comics.
What's that though? Sony's been in financial trouble for years though. Last couple of years, they've been in some serious debt problems.
So is Warner Brothers, though.
Yeah.
That's true. And you know what? It might be a one hand washes the other thing, because Sony's been in financial trouble, but one thing they've at least seems to have done right are the Spider-Man movies.
Yeah, but that's about it.
Could you imagine, though, the team that's been doing the Spider-Man movies taking on some DC characters for movies?
They can't do any worse than DC guys have done sometimes.
Yeah.
Like I said, I don't know if there's any truth to those, but like I said, I have read some
interesting
speculations on that.
There's actually more truth to Disney buying Hasbro.
Now, it's funny, because we talked about this on a This Week in Geek Topics show. I think the Marvel Cinematic Universe, I don't think it needs Spider-Man.
No, I'm fine. So many people are clamoring for Spider-Man to be in the Avengers. He has to be in the Avengers. He's a modern-day Avenger. he hasn't really been an official Avengers member for more than, what, 10, 20 years in the 60, 70-year history? He doesn't need to be. And you know what? I am totally fine with him not being part of it.
Yeah, I mean...
And I like Spider-Man. I've liked all the movies and the Raimi ones and everything, but...
Like, this Marvel Cinematic Universe, when you think about it, guys, it doesn't need the Fantastic Four. It doesn't need the X-Men.
Here's the question. If you're going to add these in, who do you take out? Because you can't jam-pack it that much.
Yeah, because then it becomes you got way too many spices in the sauce, and it sucks. You know, Marvel has the perfect recipe.
There's a reason Hawkeye wound up working for Loki for half of the Avengers movie. And it's not just because it was Jeremy Renner. It's because there's only so much room for all those good guys.
Yeah.
So they had him on the bad side for half the movie so that they could make some room.
Yeah. And, but say, Jeremy Renner's been on set for Avengers too.
Yes, I saw him. It wouldn't surprise me. I saw him fighting alongside Scarlet Witch, so he will be back. Which is funny because apparently he was complaining about the size of his role in Avengers. So it was rumored that he wasn't going to be back, but I guess here he is. But you mentioned it. Amazing Spider-Man 2. Thoughts?
It was comparable to Spider-Man 3 and Batman and Robin, and really think about that.
See, that's what a lot of people have been saying. I didn't mind it, though.
Ugh.
I didn't find it that bad.
The more I thought about it, the more I hated it.
Gwen's okay, though, right?
Oh, my God. Emma Stone was the best part of that movie, and disapproving Dennis Leary.
I haven't seen the movie yet, so Gwen's okay, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah. She becomes Carnage. That's the post-credit scene.
No, he's lying. The post-credits scene is that Gwen reveals that she was the Red Skull the whole time.
Yes, with the Cosmic Cube.
Actually, I saw an article of that, and I saw a clip on YouTube. The reason why the post-credits scene in Amazing Spider-Man 2 was a Days of Future Past thing.
A scene, yeah.
There was originally a scene with Norman Osborn's head in a
jar.
In a box, in the trophy.
What's in the box?
In the box. But apparently, so it's actually still alive, apparently.
And he's going to be something, because they're like, it's time to wake up, old friend.
Maybe Mysterio. Maybe he'll be Mysterio.
You know who has to be him?
I hope so. I would love to see a cinematic version of Mysterio. Yeah, but that one with the Raimi ones. That's apparently what they were aiming for with the Raimi ones.
That
would
have been really cool.
He was the washed-up guy in every movie you see him in, all three of them. But I really, really like Mysterio, and he's not necessarily a widely popular Spider-Man villain, but I really like him. And you know what made me love him? Old Man Logan.
Really? He's in there?
And a flashback scene.
Oh, okay.
And go and read Old Man Logan, and it's one of the most powerful scenes in the book, and he's kind of responsible for it, and it's fan-friggin-tastic.
Daredevil is what made me a fan of him.
The Kevin Smith run, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, oh my God, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Smith
writes some good comics. He's just not very punctual.
You mean Daredevil Bullseye, you mean?
I'm still waiting on his third Batman series, which is supposed to be coming out at some point.
I think he said that he's not actually getting back to that.
Oh, I'm going to be so mad, because the Widening Gyre ended on such a cliffhanger. He's doing Batman 66 meets Green Hornet with Ralph Garman right now.
Isn't Ty Templeton doing the artwork for the covers?
I think so.
No, Alex Ross is doing the covers for that.
Okay.
Templeton might be doing the interiors, I think.
Okay, and he's a cool artist, too.
Yeah.
One of the other things...
Marvin probably knows him.
Yeah. I do know Ty.
Doesn't surprise me. Because
we've interviewed him on the show a couple years ago.
He does a lot of local stuff. Like, is he from Toronto?
He lives in the area. Not in Toronto, but...
I know he does a lot of things. Like, he...
did Comic-Con stuff.
He was at the same place you were for Free Comic Book Day, wasn't he?
Yes, he was at Stadium.
Yeah, I thought he was at Stadium. But yeah, so... Well, since Marvin hasn't seen it, we'll try to keep it spoiler-free.
It's okay. But I already know what happens.
Amazing Spider-Man 2, I personally enjoyed. I at least put it somewhat on par with the first Amazing Spider-Man. I mean, it's not the same movie to begin with, because you don't need the origin and everything. I'm a little disappointed that they didn't focus... That basically the whole Uncle Ben dying is nothing. It means nothing. They focus a lot on his father and... the past and like, you know, his parents being spies or whatever, which has kind of come up in comics in certain points. But for the most part, I didn't mind it. I certainly didn't put it on the same level as all the movies that Mike seemed to, which obviously he hated it. What did you hate so much about it?
The pacing and the fact, the Green Goblin, Harry Osborn, one of the most important villains in Spider-Man's mythos, is shoehorned in for 5 minutes.
What are you talking about?
Okay, well, no. At the
end, were you watching the same movie everyone else was watching?
Yeah, and mine sucked, and yours was a mental delusion.
Mine was amazing. So,
although I will say this about Amazing Spider-Man 2, it's the most Spider-Man-y of any of the movies. It feels like the 90s cartoon come to life. When Garfield is Spider-Man, he's amazing. He's wisecracking. He's flipping.
Did anybody else picture the cat in the Spider-Man suit when he said, "When Garfield's Spider-Man"? Yeah. Just saying.
I didn't have a problem with the pacing. I thought the buildup for Harry Osborn Goblin was just fine.
I actually thought
fine.
It went a lot faster.
I thought
faster.
Electro was handled good.
Yeah.
The only shoehorn thing I thought in was Rhino.
Rhino. Yeah. Well, that's another thing too. That trailer was misleading as shit.
Because I knew Rhino was going to be the bookends of it. Just from you could tell by the all the pictures they were showing. It's like obviously there's Paul Giamatti in the truck and everything, and without the Rhino suit. And then there's the part in the trailer when he has the Rhino suit, and it's like you got to get from A to B somehow without it just being like that, because obviously that suit wasn't something he could jump in, you know, in a heartbeat. So I kind of figured it was going to bookend it in the way, which it did. I didn't obviously know everything that was going to happen in between. But yeah, so there's your beginning and end, but it doesn't spoil too much because you've seen it all in the trailers.
I'm trying to find the article that points out a lot of these really...
Oh, you're going to find tons.
You
tons
know what?
Of people
I could find
complain.
Just as many articles saying it was an amazing movie. So
welcome those people are idiots.
Welcome to the internet, sir.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone's going to have an opinion. But like I said, the fact when he's wisecracking and fighting, those scenes are straight out of the cartoon and out of the comics.
His New York accent sounded a little forced, though, at times. Yeah, you notice a couple times when he's Spider-Man, he had the New York accent.
Yeah.
But I liked it at the beginning
but
when
Andrew Garfield has a British accent normally, so it's...
Exactly,
it's,
I know, it's a tough thing here, but like whenever he's grabbing all those vials and he's like, get back here, you know?
Yeah, see, that's
that was
funny.
That was this very Spider-Man-y thing to do, so I agree with you on that point, but I'm on the same level as Chris here.
I give it a 6 out of 10.
I'd give it at least a 7, but I mean, that's also subjective ratings.
Yeah.
A 6 for you could be really low. A 7 for me is, I consider to be pretty decent.
I mean, I'm glad I saw it, but here's a point that I made on another podcast. Think about, let's go back to the previous conversation. Look how Marvel's building up the cinematic universe, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's Amazing Spider-Man doing? They're universe building, correct?
Yeah.
They're trying to cram 7 or 8 movies worth of buildup into one. Amazing Spider-Man 2, in my opinion, it's a setup movie.
Oh, and I agree. They did set up a lot.
And
probably
Marvel
more than they
has
should have.
Forced the studio's hands for DC, Marvel, etc. to, here, you must universe build. And it's screwing up the industry.
I personally think they could have left Green Goblin out of this movie and had that be the post-credits scene.
Yes.
But I don't think point. He ruins the movie, though.
But
I still enjoyed it.
I don't think
I
should have put him in, though.
I'm just saying that it was a lot. I feel like it was too much too quickly in that, you know, you just met Harry Osborn and it
and
went...
he hates him 2 scenes later?
No, I wouldn't say
my,
2 scenes.
My only complaint about the whole movie with Harry Osborn is the fact that his father literally brings him into the room and says, I've got this disease and now you have it too. And then suddenly, Harry, who's
starts
lived
manifesting
his,
symptoms.
Harry, who his entire life has never shown any problems whatsoever with this disease,
suddenly
in the course
has
of like
this
a
rash.
Week,
he's like, "Shit!" I'm
in the
dying.
Course of a week, he's dead. You know, dying. So.
If I can just say something, which doesn't actually have to do with the movie, but has to do with Dane DeHaan, who plays Harry Osborn. He's said in an interview that his father is a huge fanboy. Yeah, his father's name is Jeff. Jeff DeHaan. Just wanted to throw that out there.
See, it's actually your son from a future timeline.
He's got my same name. It's weird. It's spelled the same in everything. It's creepy.
All right.
Parallel reality.
Does he have a beard?
Said.
Is he from Mirror?
He's got a twirly mustache. Right?
It's all Mirror universe kind of wandering over the side.
Although, but that's the thing, though. I kind of wonder if with the whole universe building, if it's going to ruin some movies. I mean, look what's happening with Justice League, or a.k.a. Batman versus Superman. How many characters are cramming.
Now, that is going to be a setup movie.
Well, problem with that is, you're having, like, the problem with anything with Time Warner, Warner Films right now is, they're a bunch of suits. They don't know, they're just going
They don't
marketing.
Know how to make movies, but they make great TV.
They make great cartoons. Great cartoons and animation. Can't even figure out how to make a good Green Lantern film. So I'm like, what makes
and
you think...
if you can't make a good Green Lantern movie
and you
when you have that kind of a budget...
It's like, yeah. At this point, what are you doing over there? It's, what's going on? What's the process over there that's going on?
It's
wrong.
And it's funny, the fact that we got a shitty Green Lantern movie, and we're going to get an amazing Guardians. This is the darkest timeline. This is the weird world I didn't think I'd ever see, because I honestly thought DC with Green Lantern would do it amazing.
Well, hell, Marvel was almost bankrupt at one point.
Yeah. And,
you know, and DC was flourishing, and here we are. Now,
the shoe's on the other foot.
One thing that Mike did say, though, while DC doesn't necessarily do great movies, they do very good TV.
Like,
who here has seen the trailer for Gotham?
Yeah.
Holy crap. I realize that's Fox, not Warner Brothers, but I'm sure DC still has
in the same wheelhouse.
DC's
still
probably still got a pretty
trailer. Was really nice.
Oh yeah, that looked really good.
Was amazing. Flash. So good. Did you see the 5-minute Flash trailer?
That sold me on it.
I haven't been watching Arrow, but the only thing I don't like about Flash is I don't know how keen I am on the guy that's actually playing him. I'd have to watch a couple episodes.
He'll probably get used to it.
Maybe, but for the trailer, I don't know if I like him as Flash.
You know what's cool? The guy that plays that dude's dad is the Flash from the original 90s series.
Oh, is it?
That's so
is
cool.
Is it Wesley Shipp?
I hope Mark Hamill comes back as Trickster.
Oh my God. There's so many things
fantastic
about that.
The Flash trailer looks good. Mm-hmm. Arrow apparently had a pretty slow first season, but from what I've heard from friends of mine that have watched it, second season's been fantastic.
Deathstroke, Black Canary shows up.
Second season was head and shoulders better than the first.
Oh, there you go. So I'll probably have to check that out. I'll binge it sometime.
I avidly watch it. I'm a huge Arrow junkie.
See,
the first season started off
I considered watching
and
it,
got
but
better by the end, and then the second season.
That was the problem. I heard too many bad things about the first season, so I didn't watch. And now here we are at the end of the second season. It's supposed to be fantastic.
Is it true on every episode of Arrow he's always shirtless?
Well, why not? I guess.
I don't know about every episode.
Almost close to it.
But close to it.
Close. I was wondering, I've heard that joke made. I'm like, that can't be that close.
There's a drinking game enough.
Well, that's enough then.
Is it also fun, the Scarface swearing game?
Kind of.
It's like in his contract, you can be shirtless for X amount of minutes per episode.
It's like there's a drinking game that every time he's shirtless, take a drink. Anytime you see him exercising, doing one of his like arrow training exercises, take a drink. Anytime he whines about his past, take a drink. You know?
Let's talk about Gotham. I wonder how this series is going to end, or start, rather.
Well,
I don't know. It's apparently a Batman show without Batman.
Apparently the end game is Batman becoming Batman. So it's going to jump time-wise because he's not going to be the little kid forever. Like, eventually you're going to see him, Bruce Wayne, kind of grow up to the point there by the end of the series, however long it goes, he's going to be Batman. My problem is that quite often when someone has an idea for a show that's going to go, say, 5 seasons, and it's very successful, the studio changes their mind. Cough, cough, Supernatural.
Yeah, but so, yep, Supernatural. X-Files as well.
You know, X-Files as well. And then they wind up having an inferior product. Chris Carter has said that he actually regrets the 9th season of X-Files because it wasn't up to snuff.
I've got such
and being that
opinions.
Fox is doing it too, there's also the potential that it'll get canceled before it even hits fruition.
It has to do with Batman though. So if they keep enough little Batman Easter eggs, and by the looks of things with the, you know, origin villains that they have, incidentally with that, I was kind of surprised that they introduced Ivy.
Yeah.
I was expecting
and
ones
the
Riddler's
like Riddler's in there
too. But I'm expecting people like Riddler and Penguin because they don't necessarily have anything wrong with them.
That's true, yeah.
Ivy actually now they could play that in a real-world setting if they want by just having her be a very intelligent botanist. Is botanist the right word I want?
Yes, yeah. Botanist.
They'll probably
so,
do
know,
her
so
like
she
a small
she knows her ins and outs of like plants and flowers and which ones are poisonous and stuff without necessarily having the green skin and everything like that.
Did you guys hear the rumor, the possibility that this Gotham continuity is the lead-in to the Batman and Superman world and the Nolan films are not the lead-in anymore?
That would be interesting.
That's okay. I didn't expect the Nolan. Because
I'm thinking to myself, like,
in
the Batman you're getting now is the Batman that's the Batman that will appear in Superman. Batman is actually the Batman that exists in this Gotham world.
I would be okay with that.
Yeah, I think I'd be alright.
Especially
with that,
considering they're starting fresh with Batman. Because I'll be honest, I
they
didn't want them to use the Nolan Batman anyways. Mm-hmm. I'm like,
he's too real world based.
Not only that, but it's like he told his story. Let it end. You don't. You can.
Well,
they rebooted Spider-Man after 5 years. You can reboot
well,
Batman.
There is a way back into this because if you take the Nolan universe Batman, and like you said, he walks away. Dark Knight Rises. He walks away, and you have Blake Robin take over as the new protector. Mm-hmm. And the thing about the Batman that we're getting in Superman Batman, he's older and he's coming out of retirement. The Dark Knight Returns Batman.
Kind of.
So theoretically, you could have Blake getting killed or injured or something bad happening.
I still don't want that. I would rather
have him come back for
revenge. I would rather the Nolan films stand on their own and be just be and not have to do anything. I think the Marvel universe is the reason people wanted to see that universe stay alive, and it's like, oh well, it has to tie in and everything. And it's like, no, it doesn't. Nolan told his stories. You know, good or bad, whatever. He told the stories. They had a beginning, a middle, and an end. Leave it at that. I do like, though, I've seen some fan things where, like some fan art and stuff, where they've actually, people have drawn and written their own epilogues, if you will, afterwards for all different characters. And that's all fine and good. If someone wants to do that, and some of them have actually been really cool stories, but let it be. Like, as far as the actual movies go, you don't have to add it on. If people want to do their own fan art or their own fan fiction for these kinds of things, more power to you. Go to it. But let that film series speak for itself and stand on its own, especially since you don't have Christian Bale. I don't think you need Christian Bale. I'm one of the people who actually think Affleck's going to do a fine job. I'm looking forward to it. So I was just... Sorry, I get off my soapbox here.
it's all right, Jeff. We know that you are the Bat guy.
Yeah, I suppose. I've been known as the, yeah, as such.
Whenever Batman's a topic, you like to talk.
I have a little bit of passion.
You do.
I'm really hoping it works out well for Batman. I think Ben Affleck's going to be a great Batman.
I agree. I really loved the Gotham trailer. If that kind of tone fits into the whole show, I'm looking forward to it. I found myself actually picturing dude that's playing Gordon with a mustache throughout the trailer, because he's clean shaven throughout the trailer. And I'm like, how would he look with glasses and a mustache? Just to kind of picture, you know, the foreshadowing for ahead of time. I love the guy that they have to play Harvey Bullock.
Yep.
Jada Pinkett Smith is in there as an original character for the series, which is okay. She's the precursor to the Penguin. It looks like she's kind of the main mob boss. And then I guess Penguin's underneath her, and he'll probably take over at some point when she's killed.
It's going to be I hope the series is good, but I hope it avoids the Fox curse, and I hope it can get over the hurdle of being a Batmanless Batman show. But like you said, the end game's going to pay off.
Jeff, I'll say that you were two words: Black Mask. Oh, here we go.
That would be awesome to have him in there.
And he'd be a great villain for it,
too. And he's so simple, too.
Yeah.
That's just simple. Costuming.
It's a guy that wears a mask. That's it. Because it's not until in the comics he eventually does get it like grafted to his face through some accident. But, I mean, tomato, tomato, as far as that goes.
Yeah.
You know,
Tommy Elliott.
If Arrow can make...
little Tommy Elliott playing Bruce.
Oh, if Arrow can make Deathstroke so badass, then... I've got some confidence in
you know who I just thought
Gotham
would work
for their villains.
I think he's a bat. I know he was a hero or something back in the day. Tommy Monaghan, Hitman. You could have him as a guy in the Gotham.
Oh, he is from Gotham. He is from Gotham.
So I don't know. That's something that could be kind of
hit
fun.
Monkey.
But guys,
wrong company. Oh,
damn. We have run out of time.
Alas.
And we could talk about this for hours. Oh, my God.
We really could. And you know what? I'm impressed that we pretty much ran the gamut, though. We did Marvel movies, DC movies, TV for both. And we covered, you know, Fox and everything. The only thing we didn't talk about is X-Men, which, as Mike said off the hop, as of this recording, we haven't seen it yet, but I'm sure you'll hear our thoughts on it soon enough.
I'm looking forward to it, man. I'm so hyped for that.
Absolutely.
I'm so
one word,
to cut the Halle Berry.
Sentinels.
Yeah.
Did they actually? Yeah, they cut Halle Berry out. I'm so glad.
Completely?
Pretty much she's in the trailer for a cameo. She's in the cameo.
So in other words, that what looks like a death scene in the trailer.
Yeah. So they put Anna Paquin back in. They took Halle Berry out.
Excellent. And I'm not necessarily a huge fan of Anna Paquin, but I'll take her over Halle Berry anyways.
She's a good Storm.
Catwoman.
She was all right.
Okay, for Catwoman.
No. She was a decent Storm, but I can think of a lot of people that would have made a better Storm. So my Storm is the white-costumed 90s X-Men cartoon Storm.
Yeah.
And I could see someone like Viola Davis doing a better job of that.
Angel Bassett.
It doesn't have to be a hugely physical role, so somewhat a commanding presence. And I could see something like that from Viola.
What about the woman from Firefly?
Is she the comedic one? I'm trying to.
Gina Torres?
Yeah.
Maybe it's not Viola Davis.
There's only one thing I want to get Mike's two cents on before we go here, just because I know how much he is a fan of this. and we're talking movies, the TMNT movie. In 50 seconds or less, can you describe your feelings about this?
I'm honestly excited for it. I really, other than a little bit of physical design on the Turtles' behalf, I think it looks okay. And Megan Fox as April O'Neil, give me a trailer where she actually talks.
I don't like that they have lips.
It's the nostrils that throws me off.
I've seen a Photoshop online where someone's like, looks better. Simple way to switch it, and it does look better. I'll admit it.
So you know what? I think the toys look really cool, and they're based on the movie designs, so I'm okay with this. Shredder being a white guy, we'll see what happens. But I will be there opening day, guaranteed. So Booyakasha, Cowabunga, whatever, I'm there. So next time on the show, we're going to be talking to Marvin. He's going to be our guest. We're going to talk about comics, basically, how you did, how you got into the industry, all sorts of insider things, as evidently you know everybody. It'll be a good time. So until next time, I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd with...
I've been Jeff DeHaan. If there's any movies or TV you want to talk about or shoot our way, hit us up on Twitter at Gauntlet Podcast.
Marvin Law.
And Chris Peddle. And I just want to give a point out to the new product line of Galaxy Teas I now carry at the store here. Fantastic herbal teas with fantasy and sci-fi names. Check them out at galaxyteas.com.